Welcome. This is James Corbett of CorbettReport.com.
And I'm James Evan Pilato of MediaMonarchy.com, and we both welcome you back to another episode of The New World next week, which, of course, you can find everything you need, high-quality audio, video, sources, and more at NewWorldNextWeek.com. James, we will begin this week with a story posted to my own CyberspaceWar.com. And it came on a day that typically in the media we call it dumping day. However, I don't think this was intentionally dumped. I think this was essentially when McClatchy got the dirt. And that is, insider threat program forces federal employees to spy on their coworkers. Government documents have revealed that the Obama administration is implementing a program that requires millions of federal employees to spy on their coworkers as part of a sweeping crackdown on security leaks across the U.S. government. The program, titled Insider Threat, which has gone almost entirely unnoticed in the U.S. media, also presses managers to punish employees who fail to report their suspicions, McClatchy reported last Friday after obtaining these documents. The program spans all federal agencies and mandates employees and their superiors to identify and report behaviors associated with someone who might leak government, or rather sensitive government information. Those who fail to expose high-risk persons face penalties that include criminal charges. The program was launched in October 2011 after Army Private Bradley Manning blew the whistle on U.S. war crimes in the largest intel leak in U.S. history. According to a Pentagon strategy dated June 1, 2012, and written for this insider threat program, leaking sensitive documents is, quote, tantamount to aiding the enemies of the United States. The government documents now in question reviewed by McClatchy reveal that some federal agencies are using this unprecedented initiative to crack down on unauthorized disclosure of any information, not just classified documents. Now, of course, as McClatchy reports, the Obama administration is expected to speed up the implementation of insider threat in the wake of the series of recent leaks by former National Security Agency contractor Edward Snowden, who exposed the agency's top secret surveillance programs. James will also include the link to McClatchyDC.com, questions and answers from the government on the insider threat program. And they, of course, include, as we reported on here a few weeks ago, Edward Snowden. But James, there's not anyone else out there leaking information about the surveillance state, or is there?
Well, I don't know. Maybe Russ Tice. And obviously, people who have been following Corbett Report or Boiling Frogs over the past week will know about that story. But here's the ultimate point about this insider threat program. It just goes to show yet again that all laws and all policies and all programs are political in nature and selectively enforced. There are still going to be tons of leaks coming out from this administration and every subsequent one when it suits their purposes. Every single time you read an article in the New York Times or the LA Times or the Washington Post that has an anonymous inside source that is speaking on a condition of anonymity, or because they're not cleared to talk about it, that is coming from directly within the administration as well. They leak all the time as ways to get their message out into the press. But now, if there's ever a leak that embarrasses them, then they have this excuse to go after it, and to go after anyone who may have even known about this but didn't blow the whistle on the whistleblowers. It is a ridiculous situation, but what this is really doing is just moving the goalposts further down the field in terms of the collective conversation that's going on right now about the nature of privacy and the nature of government transparency. And this is, I think they've put the ball in play. This is an analogy I made on the Jack Blood Show recently. They've put the ball in play, and they're trying to have this conversation about transparency and privacy, and to make anyone who leaks anything that's embarrassing to the government basically tantamount to terrorist, etc. They're trying to put that in motion and see how far down the field they can carry that ball. But whenever they put the ball in motion, there's always the chance for a fumble. There's always a chance for an interception. There's a chance that we can pick up that ball and run the other way down the field. So I hope that people are on top of this and can point out the hypocrisy that's at the base of this, as this administration and every previous one and every subsequent one continues to use leaks when it's convenient for them. And whenever it puts egg on their face, they pretend to get upset about it. But of course, again, as you point out, what we know from the other NSA whistleblower that no one's talking about is that the entire government is blackmailed anyway, from Obama on down, Petraeus and Alito and Colin Powell in the past, and you know, all of the Supreme Court justices and all of the people on the important committees in Congress, the congressional leaders, all of them have been wiretapped, according to Russ Tice, NSA whistleblower, and that information is undoubtedly being used by the national security state as blackmail against the government anyway. So this isn't an Obama policy any more than anything else that happens in the Obama administration is really coming from Barack Obama. It is coming from the real rulers of America, the national security state behind the scenes, who are puppeteering and controlling all of this anyway. So it is a sham, and it's time to expose this 110%. And I think there is a chance, now that the ball is in play, there is a chance for us to make a move and hopefully intercept that ball and run it back down the field.
James will also include a couple links also on cyberspacewar.com. NSA takes surveillance fact sheet off their website, and also a couple of posts just about the history of the spying. And you even alluded to, of course, the wiretapping of Obama, of Alito, of all of these guys. And we know that, of course, yeah, they're all corruptible, and they're all they can be bounced at any moment. James, our second story this week will move to myfoodworldorder.com for a frightening story if you're still crazy enough to buy conventional foods. 80% of prepackaged foods in America are banned in other countries. If you or your kids enjoy prepackaged convenience foods commonly found in corporate grocery stores across the U.S., such as Fruit Loops, which of course should always be tipped off that fruit is spelled F-R-O-O-T in Fruit Loops, Swanson Dinners, Mountain Dew, frozen potato, and bread products, you may think twice before purchasing them after hearing what they contain, dangerous chemicals that other countries around the globe have deemed toxic to the point that they are illegal, and companies are fined hundreds of thousands of dollars for including them in food products. This is all sourcing back to a book called Rich Food, Poor Food. And the authors, Mira and Jason Calton, provide a list of what they termed banned bad boys, ingredients commonly used in up to 80% of all American convenience food that have been banned by other countries, with the information about which countries banned each substance and why. Now, interestingly enough, we had this posted on foodworldorder.com several days ago, and then just in the last day, ABC News has caught up to the story, so we'll include their coverage as well. 11 food ingredients banned outside the U.S. that we eat. So again, as we're talking about these, none of these should really be any surprise to you. Anytime you see numbers in your ingredients list, that should be an immediate red flag for you to put it down. Blue number one, blue number two, yellow number five, red 40. Brominated vegetable oil, potassium bromate, olestra, RBST, all of these things. Again, if you've already started to make the moves to get out of the corporate food pyramid, I think you've probably moved away from a lot of these. But again, so much of this is now kind of hitting the mainstream. And this, James, as you and I have been talking about for the last couple of years as we cover Food World Order kind of stories, that these are one of the main ways that we can actually, you know, kind of take the power back. Some of these stories also, I think, relate to some of the things we'll also include. Counterfeit food more widespread than suspected. It's kind of an interesting story about vodka with bleach in it. And, of course, even going back to the horse meat scandal. So we'll include our flashback link to the New World Next Week coverage of the horse meat scandal going all the way back to February 28th. But, James, 80% of prepackaged food. So I'd love to see the comparison between the U.S. and Japan on that.
What? Mountain Dew and Fruit Loops are bad for you? Said absolutely no one. Exactly. There's no one out there in the audience that is surprised by this in any way, shape, or form. And it only goes to show those types of biases that I think we were talking about on the program last week, that everyone tends to think of things so localized, in a localized manner. So that, for example, the people who would support the big agra, big food business there in the United States would point to the FDA and say, look, they approve these foods, therefore they're okay. Whereas someone in Japan would point to the Japanese equivalent of the FDA and say, well, look, BHA and BHT are not approved for sale here, so those American products are wrong. So everyone can point to their local authorities as if that is the authority, and that's where we're supposed to look for our information, rather than, of course, just looking at the basic fact that over the past 50 years, there has been such a transformation in the way we source our food, the way we prepare our food, the way we eat our food, that obviously this is going to have massive effects on people's health. And I think, unfortunately, we're already seeing that as just last May, you might recall that the Lancet Oncology came out with a study predicting that cancer rates are set to jump 75% by 2030. Why is this? Why are cancer rates suddenly exploding across the world? Could it have something to do with the fact that we have completely transformed the way we eat, and now we're eating these products we can't even pronounce the names of the ingredients? They contain all these numbers and bizarre chemical formulas that we are dimly aware of, if aware at all. And I think we cannot underestimate just how big a transformation this is. And if you are what you eat, then we are slowly becoming just this concoction of unpronounceable chemicals that have been made in a laboratory somewhere. So I think absolutely this is something that we have the power each and every single day to make the decision whether we're going to put that toxic crap in our bodies or whether we're going to source locally, source natural foods, and actually prepare the ingredients ourselves rather than trust some corporation on the other side of the planet to do it for us.
And as you said, you know, that's always, I think, you know, folks like Michael Pollan and all the folks have put this out there saying, you know, if you can't pronounce it in the ingredients list, you probably shouldn't buy it. I skipped reading a lot of the names because I wouldn't be able to pronounce them. So just, James, as you were saying, you are what you eat. So would you rather be an apple or would you rather be azodicarbonamide, which is some bleached flour? James, our third and final story actually stays on foodworldorder.com with a little bit of good news. Now, we are digging back, I believe it's just about 2 weeks for this story. However, in light of today's massive news about the Supreme Court and the Defense of Marriage Act, I think we should also look at some of the other recent decisions, as there have been a flurry from the U.S. Supreme Court. They ruled human genes are not eligible for patent protection, and you did not see that blasted all over the news nonstop when the decision was made. We'll take this brief text from naturalnews.com. In a unanimous ruling, the United States Supreme Court ruled that human genes cannot be patented. The ruling invalidates the thousands of patents that have already been granted on human genes, including the patent by Myriad Genetics on the BRCA breast cancer genes, which the company says no one else can research or even detect without paying it a royalty. Myriad did not create anything, said Justice Clarence Thomas. To be sure, it found an important and useful gene, but separating that gene from its surrounding genetic material is not an act of invention. Well, exactly. This point should have been obvious to the lower courts too, but in today's world of corporate domination over seemingly everything, gene industry lawyers were able to argue that patent protection would somehow inspire innovation and research. Quote, the biotechnology industry had warned that an expansive ruling against Myriad could threaten billions of dollars of investment, end quote, wrote Reuters. So, James, this again was posted to foodworldorder.com a few weeks ago, and I don't think anyone really covered this story.
Including us. Yeah, it's one of those stories that did kind of slip under the radar, but it is worth talking about because it is an important ruling. And hey, look at that. And completely compromised Supreme Court can get it right once in a while, like a broken clock right twice a day, I suppose. And this is good news, obviously, for the mass of humanity. And it looks like the Angelina Jolie advertising campaign for the BRCA1 and 2 breast cancer gene testing has fallen flat on its face, as the $4,000+ a Myriad Genetics test is likely to be replaced by generic knockoffs that are less than $100. So again, this goes to show the absolute just insanity that is at the base of these patent laws that have developed. And anytime the government steps out of that arena is a good thing. And hopefully they would step out of it altogether, but I'm not holding my breath for that. At any rate, they made a good decision this time, and it is interesting how people don't seem to go bananas when this type of decision comes on the radar, but there are certain other political football issues that tend to be dominating the headlines right now.
So, James, just in closing, I think we'll mention that, again, actually, I'm kind of proud of this. All of our stories have been posted to my own foodworldorder.com or cyberspacewar.com, with a huge thanks and hat tip to our friend Brock West of apperspective.net. And I'd also like to just throw it out there in closing that for both of those sites, I use, you know, their own respective hashtag cyberspacewar or hashtag foodworldorder. I encourage you to take those and start using them and sharing stories that we'll see And on top of that, also, if you'd like to use hashtag New World next week, you can tag myself at Media Monarchy or James at Corby Report on Twitter. And we are always, of course, interested and excited in seeing the other news from all around the world that folks would maybe like to see covered.
Exactly right. Let's start using these spying technologies for something productive at any rate. And if you're not signed up for Twitter, please don't. But if you're already on this Orwellian Panopticon Society control grid, well, let's use it to strike back against the system. That's the philosophy of New World next week. And that's why I love doing this every week with you here, James. And thank you to all the listeners out there, as always, for tuning in. So until next week, thanks for your time.
All right. Thank you. Take care.